Welcome back to Holy Week as we journey through the Word together in the footsteps to the cross. Today is Thursday. We're in John 13, and in verse 1, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I like that phrase, loved them to the end. There's something striking to me about the loyalty of Jesus to his friends. The phrase to the end can also mean that he loved them to the highest degree or full extent. Now, you might expect to find that in the story of the crucifixion, but we're not there just yet. Instead, we're taking a second look at the Last Supper. John 13 is a rather humble story and a simple lesson on the true nature of love. So let's dig in at verse 2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he... Pause there a moment. There's an important statement here that should not be missed. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Now, if you didn't know this story, what would you expect to come next? What would you do with all the power of the universe in your hands? Seriously, something selfish or something noble? Something awesome or even heroic? Watch carefully here. Same sentence. Jesus had all that power. And in verse 4, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And that's it. That is what Jesus did with all that power. He could do anything, and he chose to scrub some dirty feet. Now, to get this, you got to understand a little Jewish culture. Foot washing was a very normal part of a feast like this. Normal, that is, for a servant. It was generally the responsibility of the lowest servant in the house to wash the dirty feet of the guests. They walked on a lot of dirt, and behind not a few animals in the street. Feet got dirty fast. Now, your guests wouldn't want to wash their own feet, so it was a very hospitable thing to do to make one of your servants wash all the feet. It's very thoughtful. But Jesus was borrowing this upper room, and apparently no servant was sent up with the scrubber. So Jesus stepped up, or I should say down. I have to tell you that I love this story. Honestly, I think this is the most surprising thing about Jesus, that the Son of God came to earth not to be served, but to serve others. It just amazes me. The shocking reality is that the nature of God is to be a servant. Yes, he is a mighty king, but a king who serves. Now, I am not the only one surprised by Jesus' action. Peter's right there at the table, and when Jesus gets to his feet, Peter tries to stop him. Verse 8, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Clearly, there's something symbolic about the washing here. It's not just about feet. It's about all of our junk, the sin and the mess that we walk through in this world. Like Peter, we can feel that God shouldn't be involved in our mess, that we should clean ourselves and then come to Jesus. That's not how it works. Jesus washes us. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." It didn't make sense to Peter, but Jesus insisted. This is part of love. Love reverses the order of things, makes a great man humble himself. Victor Hugo wrote, "Love is the foolishness of men and the wisdom of God." So how does Jesus wash us clean today in the 21st century? Ephesians 5 says that Jesus washes us clean through the Word. Huh, I like that phrase. And it's true. Jesus uses the Bible like soap for your soul. I don't know how it works exactly, but I know it works. A daily Bible habit is like basic spiritual hygiene. It washes the filth of the world off before it gets into your system. So there's the symbolic lesson here, but Jesus doesn't want his disciples to miss the practical one. So in verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And this is where the lesson gets personal. It is one thing for me to be amazed that Jesus washed feet. It is quite another for me to do the same. Jesus says very simply, "Wash one another's feet." You are never too good or too important to serve. If ever you think that kind of work is beneath me or those people are just too dirty, if it's not too low for Jesus, it certainly isn't too low for you. Sometimes we can think, if only I had more resources, more power, I would do such amazing things for God. But do you remember how John started this chapter? All things under his power. And this is how he used it. You can do this now, today. Anyone can serve. Now, I have to be honest here and tell you that foot washing ceremonies in church are a little awkward to me. I mean, I get the intent and it's good. But in our culture, feet are personal space. And to be honest, I don't really need it. I wear clean socks. I'm good. Maybe that's just me, but what I do like is Christians who simply serve each other in very practical ways. It is truly a beautiful thing. The nature of God is to serve, and to be remade in his image is to serve others the way that he serves others. And not only is it beautiful, it's a blessing. In verse 17, Jesus explains, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It's not enough to just know the theory. The real joy comes when you act. Look around you and you'll see it. The truly miserable people are all about self, about others serving them. But the truly joyful people are the ones who just serve with humility. That joy is the blessing of God. You can see it in their countenance. It marks them. And that is exactly what Jesus intended. Look at verse 34. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So this is the mark of a genuine Christian. This is your branding. Everyone will know that you are his if you love each other. They know it. They knew it when Mother Teresa touched the untouchables. They knew it when Father Damien joined a leper colony to serve the unclean, though it cost his life to serve. And they know it today. It doesn't have to be heroic. Just make some coffee, clean the floor, change a diaper, stop to help. Just serve. Read John 13 today and consider this love that changed the world. And by the way, this new command is where today gets its name. Maundy Thursday means Mandate Thursday or command. Now the question is, why does Jesus say this command is new? Love your neighbors in the Old Testament. But this one is a little different. Not love your neighbor the way you love yourself, but the way Jesus loves us. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. My love is a good thing, but Jesus' love is a revolution. Jesus' love is humble, it is selfless, it is sacrificing. And perhaps the most amazing thing of all is that you and I not only get to receive this love, we get to love with this love.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.